From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we come to the conclusion of this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Our constant prayer has been that you will have found these studies to have been both a blessing and a challenge in your Christian life. If you have profited from this series in a particular way, we would be glad to hear from you. The contact information will be provided at the close of the broadcast. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening. Our text for this morning is found in Psalm 66 and verse 2. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. It is not left to our own option whether we shall praise God or not. Praise is God's most righteous due, and every Christian, as the recipient of His grace, is bound to praise God from day to day. It is true we have no authoritative rubric for daily praise. We have no commandment prescribing certain hours of song and thanksgiving. But the law written upon the heart teaches us that it is right to praise God. And the unwritten mandate comes to us with as much force as if it had been recorded on the tables of stone or handed to us from the top of thundering Sinai. Yes, it is the Christian's duty to praise God. It is not only a pleasurable exercise, but it is the absolute obligation of his life. Think not, ye who are always mourning, that ye are guiltless in this respect, or imagine that ye can discharge your duty to your God without songs of praise. You are bound by the bonds of His love to bless His name so long as you live, and His praise should continually be in your mouth, for you are blessed in order that you may bless Him. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And if you do not praise God, you are not bringing forth the fruit which He, as the divine husbandman, has a right to expect at your hands. Let not your harp then hang upon the willows, but take it down and strive with a grateful heart to bring forth its loudest music. Arise and chant His praise. With every morning's dawn lift up your notes of thanksgiving, and let every setting sun be followed with your song. Girdle the earth with your praises, surround it with an atmosphere of melody, and God Himself will hearken from heaven and accept your music. E'en so I love thee and will love, and in thy praise will sing, because thou art my loving God and my redeeming King.
In the Lord, I will say it again, rejoice.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled, Glory to God for the Gospel, the last study in this exposition of the Epistle to the Romans. The text is verses 25 through 27 of chapter 16, Paul's great doxology of praise to God for all that he has provided in Christ. Dr. Cairns has been highlighting the glorious effects of the gospel in Paul's life as well as in the lives of all true believers. Paul rejoiced in the content of the gospel, in God's eternal plan of redemption as embodied in the Old Testament scriptures, but clearly set forth in the New Testament and the finished work of Christ. Paul's soul was stirred by a gospel that was for the whole world as he called all men to obedience to the faith. He concluded Romans with a great outpouring of praise, giving glory to God for this marvelous gospel. In the upcoming broadcasts, Dr. Cairns will commence an in-depth study of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now, here is the final portion of this message called Glory to God for the Gospel.
There are people who just throw up their hands in horror and say, I don't want to think. The book of Romans, it's too hard for me. Listen, Paul says, glory to God. This gospel has been revealed, it's been expounded, it's been laid down. Number five, he gives glory to God for the worldwide proclamation of the gospel. Now here there's a whole list of texts through Romans that I'm not going to take time to read tonight because my time has already gone. But starting in chapter 1, he goes right through and again and again and again and again he emphasizes this is for the world. And best of all, we can say it reached me. Remember the words of the old hymn? We have sung it a few times. Oh, this uttermost salvation. And the chorus is, it reaches me. It reaches me. Here I am tonight, a poor, by nature, poor, vile, guilty, wretched sinner. What could I do to save me? Nothing. So vile and wretched and rotten that I wouldn't even want to do anything to save me. I want my own way, as wicked as a sinner can be, and so are you. Here we sit on the edge of hell, and if God were to have dropped us into hell from its depths, we would have to have cried, O God, thou art righteous. But then the gospel came. God illuminated our understanding. He enlightened our mind. He renewed our will. He effectually called us to Himself. He united us to Christ. He gave us faith in the Son of God so that we passed from the curse of death unto life eternal in union with Christ. He took off the rags of our own sinfulness and our own self-righteousness. He washed us in the blood of the Lamb, purifying us from all iniquity. And He clothed us in the righteousness of Christ, standing us before Him as perfect as Jesus, because He is our perfection. Paul thought this gospel reached the world. Bless God, it reached me. He praised God for the effective purpose of the gospel. It was for the obedience of faith. This is what brings people to faith. Now, again, this is something I'm skipping over rather lightly, but it is a huge theological and practical matter of importance. We live in a day. Have you heard charismatic preachers say this sort of thing? Just release your faith. I mean, everybody has that little sack within their breast that's full of faith. And all you've got to do is somehow uncork it and out comes your faith. That's the idea. And of course, it's nonsense. The Holy Ghost says that all men have not faith. Faith is the gift of God. Faith is the product of the hearing of the gospel. I remember, and this was told me in all seriousness, some of you may actually know more details than I, but I remember, I thought it was a joke when I first came to America, that there were fundamentalist churches. Now, I hope we have got beyond this in fundamentalism today. But there were fundamental churches, seriously, that wondered why we had blue carpet. Well, we have blue carpet because I'm a Presbyterian, and for some reason or other, in Ireland and Scotland, that's called Presbyterian blue. Now, it's a wee bit faded, for we're so poor in this church, we can't afford to replace it, so any of you millionaires, we'd be glad to take from you and replace it. But anyway, it's Presbyterian blue. But they thought, no, you don't have that. Some of them actually came up with the idea that you have red carpet because it's warm, inviting, and welcoming. And you get more decisions that way. What? The color of the carpet creating faith? It's a theology I've never been taught. I don't think Paul knew much about it. Color of the carpet? Then you've got to create the atmosphere. Now, I believe in atmosphere in a meeting, as long as the Holy Ghost does the creating. I believe in emotion in a meeting, as long as the emotion is caused by great truth. I suspect emotion that is simply produced by psychological trickery. There's only one thing produces an obedient faith, and faith is always obedient, by the way. There's only one thing produces that. That is the gospel. But it does produce it. That's God's purpose. Paul says, glory to God. The gospel is God's way of bringing unbelieving sinners to an obedient faith in Jesus Christ. And then at the very end, glory to God for the gospel, because of its exaltation of God's glory and Christ's mediation to the only wise God, or to God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. The only wise God means God alone is God, and God alone is all wise. The greatest revelation of the wisdom of God, according to 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that glory, do you see this? Glory to God is only possible through Jesus Christ. Here's the mediation, the twin truths of Paul's gospel in Romans. All glory to God and all merit to Christ. God's glory and Christ's mediation. Those are the twin themes that resonate through this book of Romans. They're the twin themes of the gospel. You will always know the gospel, whatever language it's preached in, by whatever kind of preacher. You'll always know the gospel. It levels the pride of man in the dust, and it exalts the glory of God. It destroys the trust of man in his own works, and it points only to the merits of Jesus Christ. It does not come to sinners saying, God has done his part, now it's up to you to do your part. That's not the gospel. In fact, that is a message not of salvation, but of damnation. If God leaves you one thing to do that he hasn't done, you'll be damned. For dead men can do nothing. And without Christ, we're dead in trespasses and sins. But the gospel comes to you to level you in the dust as a poor sinner, a guilty sinner, a hell-deserving sinner, a weak and incapable sinner. You can do nothing to save yourself. You join the church, you'll just be a church member sinner. You get baptized, you'll be a baptized sinner. You eat and drink at the Lord's table, you'll be a sacramental sinner. And if you die that way, you'll perish. You can do nothing. God levels you in the dust. And then for his own glory, he brings you to Christ, the complete Savior for complete sinners. Do you need forgiveness? There's forgiveness in his blood. Do you need deliverance? There's redemption in his blood. Are you plagued with guilt? And if you're a sinner, you certainly are. And if you're not plagued with the sense of it, God will one day bring your guilt face to face with you and condemn you on the basis of it. But if you're plagued with guilt, burdened with it, he points you to Christ, the great justifier. Oh, he justifies all who believe in Jesus. Glory to God for the gospel. Glory to God for the gospel expounded. But more than that. And this is where we've got to end. Glory to God for the gospel experienced. You notice the last word of Romans? The word amen. Amen. That's the word of personal agreement. Personal assent. Let me ask you tonight, can you join with your personal amen? In other words, do you not only know the gospel with your head, but have you experienced it in your life? Have you ever come to experience Christ? The old Scottish way of describing the gospel is better felt than telt. It's, by interpretation, is better felt than merely told or talked about. The gospel is not a philosophy to argue over. It is not even a theology with which to perplex your brain. The gospel is the revelation of the grace of a loving God in His all-meritorious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise is, this is Paul's great statement of the universal call of the gospel in Romans 10, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, meaning exactly what he had said a few verses earlier, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as your Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the gospel experienced. And when you experience it, and you read this book of Romans, you say, glory to God, only wise. And you add your personal amen. Glory to God for the gospel. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word to every heart. We pray that thou wilt bring the lost to Christ and give them grace this night ere they go their way to get before God and cry for saving grace. We pray, our Father, that thou wilt do a work of mercy in the hearts that are yet darkened by sin. We pray also, Lord, that thou wilt establish thy people. Lord, establish new believers in the faith. Establish them in the great truths of this wonderful book. We pray, our God, that thou wilt use the gospel to strengthen and firmly fix us, so that whatever the winds of adversity or false doctrine, we may be held firm in the embrace of the gospel, established strongly in its wondrous truth. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt make us vigorous in our Christian life. Make us intelligent and wise and holy and happy and useful in the service of Christ all through the gospel. O Lord, do this, we pray. We thank thee ever for revealing Christ to us. And O Lord, we pray that thou wilt enable us to proclaim him to others. What a privilege to be able to preach Jesus Christ, the all-sufficient Savior of sinners. Bless thy word, give fruit for its preaching in the saving of the lost and the edification of the saints. And God grant that we, like the believers in Rome in those early days, may indeed be so filled with joy at what God has done for us in Christ, that this great exaltation of the apostle will be in our hearts and on our lips. Glory to God for the gospel. Hear thou our prayer, and part us with thy blessing, and keep us in thy fear. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, both tonight and evermore. We pray, giving thee our thanks, in the name and through the merits of the blood of thy Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.